It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell and Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 252-247-7282. And let's talk legal.
And joining us this morning is Cecil Harvell. Good morning, Cecil.
Good morning, Ben.
What are we talking about today?
Ben, we're going to shift gears this morning, and the title of this program is Pierce the Corporate Veil.
Okay.
And Pierce is spelled P-I-E-R-C-E.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A little bit unusual word.
Stab through the corporate veil.
Yes, right. Stab through the corporate veil. What in the world does that mean? Those are some words that always get a little bit of a chuckle in law school. So, Ben, pierce the corporate veil. That begins with the concept that a corporate entity gives protection to the individual shareholders from any kind of liability.
Mm-hmm.
There is, as we know, so much in the news about the OxyContin lawsuit now, mm-hmm, against,
right,
Pharma, as well as, I think, Johnson & Johnson.
Right.
Those are very established corporations.
Mm-hmm.
They, of course, have, any number of shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
But notice that the shareholders of those corporations are not in the news. They are not being held individually responsible for,
mm-hmm,
the liability of the corporation. Now, I realize that those are enormous companies and that we here in Eastern North Carolina deal with the mom and pop companies so many times.
Right.
But Ben, the concept is the same. If our mom and pop companies here in Eastern North Carolina, maybe it's a construction company, maybe it's a company having to do with the marine business in some way, maybe it's a contracting company, a cabinetry company, any kind of company, then that is owned by, husband, wife, maybe their child, maybe some members of the family, two brothers, whatever the case might be. They are the individual shareholders, but they're doing business as a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
If, in fact, the corporation has a liability, then the judgment is going to be against the corporation and not John Doe or Mary Doe or Susan Doe, members or shareholders of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the general rule, but if for some reason this company has not conformed with corporate formalities, which we're going to talk about what they are here in a moment, then the bottom line is that the lawyers can then allege that the corporate veil or the protection of the corporation should no longer apply.
Mm-hmm.
After all, they haven't walked and talked like a corporation. Maybe, for instance, and here come some of the examples, maybe they have not established a corporate bank account with a corporate federal ID number. Maybe they have not been filing corporate tax returns.
Mm-hmm.
They have possibly a photostatic copy of a charter that they got online from the Secretary of State, but that's it. They never organized the corporation in an official way, had an organizational minute. They have no stock certificates. They did not issue any stock certificates in exchange or in consideration of some payment. And then, of course, they have not maintained any kind of, annual update or annual delineation of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons that I chose to discuss this topic today, Ben, is that it is September. It's coming on the end of September and into October, November. This is the time of year when our office, Harvell and Collins, we are busy updating,
mm-hmm,
doing annual minutes,
right,
for all of our corporations that we represent, so as to have them completed by December the 1st. December 31st.
Right.
And you can't really wait until, you know, December the 1st to start doing these corporate updates and expect to get them all mailed out, get them signed, get them placed back into the corporate book, answer any questions that the corporation, the officers, the president, the secretary might have. So we begin this process in early fall, September, October, and we're well on our way by the time we reach into November and December the 1st, and of course have it completed usually by December the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are doing right now, Ben, is we are contacting each and every corporation that we have, that we are their attorney of record. And we are sending them annual minutes to document that this particular corporation, is, governed by the following members of the board, and that these, and that the board has now met and elected the following officers, that this corporation ratifies all of the actions of the officers of the corporation for the past year, and that it is in good standing with the taxing authorities, the North Carolina Department of Revenue, the Internal Revenue Service, that there's no real outstanding issue relative to this corporation. If there is some outstanding issue, some pending lawsuit or some tax audit that is occurring, or some sort of corporate gifting that has occurred to the shareholders, then that would be enumerated in the minutes. And these minutes are signed now by the officers of the corporation, by the shareholders, and they are placed in the corporate minute book. Now, what this kind of detail does, Ben, you can only imagine that if, in fact, you know, ABC Company here in Morehead City, North Carolina, ABC Incorporated, has a corporate account.
Right.
Has a corporate ID. Can show the judge 2, 3, 5 years, maybe even more, copies of corporate tax returns. Can show the judge that the corporation has been issuing its annual minutes, okay, and has been doing this for the last, you know, any number of years, and that here is a copy of these corporate minutes that were maintained by my lawyer over the course of many years. This, of course, Ben, as you can only imagine, is going to create circumstances where the judge is going to look at the lawyers that are involved and say, well, there's the corporate protection is intact here. The corporate veil is solid, and we are not going to allow you to pierce the corporate veil and to look at these individual shareholders and hold them responsible.
Okay. All right. Now, this is a, what's interesting here is that we talk about the corporate veil. Does this also apply to LLCs?
Absolutely. You know, all of this conversation this morning has to do with what we kind of call corporate business planning. And within the context of corporate and business planning, which our law firm does a lot of that kind of planning, there is the S corporation, there's the C corporation, there's the limited liability company, or referred to many times as the LLC, and then there's the FLLC, or the Family Limited Liability Company, which is primarily just kind of a nomenclature for a limited liability company that is, in fact, controlled by a family, and many times a mechanism to pass the ownership of the corporation through the generations down to the children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. So all of those designations, PA for professional association.
I was going to ask you about PA because you guys
PA for professional association, PC for professional corporation. All of these are types of corporate entities, and all of them have the protection of the corporate veil, and all of them need to abide by their corporate formalities. And this is, you know, critically important. Just yesterday, in the office, we created a new corporation for a nice young couple. They came in to sign the organizational minutes. They came in to issue the stock, sign their stock certificates, their membership interest. This actually happened to be an LLC. And then suddenly the wife pulled out an application for federal ID number because I was about to discuss with them about opening up the account in the name of the corporation with the charter and with the federal ID number. She says, oh, no, we already have our account, and here is our federal ID number. Well, lo and behold, when I looked at it, I saw that the application for the federal ID number, the name of the LLC, was inconsistent on the application with the actual name of the LLC as we have created at our office with the Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an inconsistency there. And she was thrilled that, you know, that we picked up on that. And
because
so,
that could be used against you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that that it can create, a complication with the Internal Revenue Service, mm-hmm. which we all never want to have. So let's get this fixed and get it fixed early on and get off on all the right starts. And so we're writing a letter, which we can do, to the Internal Revenue Service office that governs Eastern North Carolina. And we will explain to them that this was a clerical error, if you will, and mm-hmm. please correct the name of the LLC as it relates to this particular federal ID number.
Okay.
And we perceive that they will do that, and then we'll be back at the beginning again.
All right. Now, before we take a break, the North Carolina Secretary of State keeps a lot of this in public record, not the minutes, right? But it does has the incorporation, the dates, and any complaints that have been filed, right?
There really are three elements of maintenance, if you mm-hmm. will, with a corporate entity, and these apply now to all of those corporate entities: S corp, C corp, LLC, FLLC, PC, PA. All of these entities are at, if you will, the pleasure of the North Carolina Secretary of State, and as such, you would expect that the Secretary of State, they keep the official charters, and they then have an annual fee. The annual charge with the Secretary of State is minimal, but it does have to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, there is, you know, a one-page form, if you will, that affirms the address of mm-hmm. this corporate entity, affirms the president of this entity and the registered agent, just basic information.
Mm-hmm.
So it is important that this, quote, annual report be maintained with the Secretary of State. Now, that I told you there were three. That's mm-hmm. number one.
All right.
Number two is that there's a corporate return. Let's mm-hmm. don't forget that.
Right.
Okay.
Tax return. Yeah.
Number two. And number three, there is there are these corporate minutes.
All right.
That are prepared by your lawyer, okay, and placed in your corporate minute book each and every year.
All right. Coming up, we'll talk about how the failure to apply all these things successfully could result in piercing the corporate veil. That's next. Hey, welcome back here. Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. And Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins and Cecil Harvell. And with us talking about piercing the corporate veil. And you mentioned about how all the number of these issues that people have to take care of, their corporate minutes, make sure the name is correct. Mm-hmm. All these consistencies that could be used against you.
Yeah. None of these things are terribly burdensome, mm-hmm. Ben. And I want to say that quickly. Nor are they expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are a few $100 a year, the fee at the Secretary of State, the nominal fee at your lawyer's office to have your minutes prepared, your nominal fee at your accountant to have your corporate return. But, you know, if you're going to create a corporation, then you're going to need to see to these particular details. And most folks, I might add, you know, fall into the rhythm of this, and there just is no problem with it whatsoever. But it is critical that these details get attended to. We recommend at our office that LLCs as well as family LLCs maintain these minutes as well. There certainly is nothing there's nothing wrong with having these minutes. The statute does not require mm-hmm. minutes of an LLC such as it does of a corporation, an S corp or a C corp. But again, we recommend that they be done to to put the LLC in the very strong, the most strong position that we can put it in should there be a challenge to its corporate veil.
Okay. So again, so this language could be used. I mean, if there's an action against an individual and they find out that it's through a corporation or an LLC, and maybe the LLC did not keep up their minutes, or the
Correct.
LLC had not paid their incorporation, or they had failed to file.
Administratively dissolved with the Secretary of State,
right.
has failed to file, annual reports for the last 3 years,
mm-hmm.
has no corporate minutes, doesn't even have a corporate minute book. Did not issue membership certificate or stock certificates, really doesn't have any detail, if you will, no I dotting, no T crossing. These are the kinds of things that, are music to the ears of a litigation lawyer, that where there has been a liability, where there's an assertion of a liability against this corporation. Keep in mind, Ben, that most of the assets of an owner of a closely held corporation are going to be in their individual name. They're going
right.
to own their home.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have their savings account, their stock account, their IRA. All of these things are going to be in their individual name. And so they are not attachable if there's a judgment against the corporation. The only assets that are recoverable if there's a judgment against the corporation would be the corporate
mm-hmm.
assets.
Mm-hmm.
So it's critically important that you understand this, that you have a consultation with your lawyer and talk about these issues, and just make sure that your corporation, LLC, FLLC, PCPA, lots of initials, all meaning
right.
the same thing. They all are corporate entities
mm-hmm.
governed by the Secretary of State, that your affairs are in order. Let me say this, Ben. Some of our listeners out there are saying, oh, my gosh, Cecil, I don't have all those stuff you're talking about. And I've been doing business now here for 5 or 6 or 7 years, and I don't have any of that. I don't have any of that going on. Well, today's the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Okay.
And you can recover some of this.
You can recover. We can go back for a couple of years and do corporate minutes. We can get a true and certified copy of the corporate charter. We
mm-hmm.
can order you a corporate book. We can issue the stock certificates that didn't get issued, but we can issue them now so that they are done. We can check in with the Secretary of State to make sure you're in good standing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All of these things can be done. And then, of course, guess what? Then we're going to blink, and 2 or 3 or 4 years will have gone by.
Mm-hmm.
And you have history now of having walked and talked like a corporation.
Right.
So those of you who are listening who are frightened about the fact that you don't have all of this, and therefore, because you don't have it, you don't know how to get it,
mm-hmm.
you see.
Mm-hmm.
That's the quagmire there, is that to folks. They come in and they're embarrassed that they don't have it, and they don't think that there's anything that can be done about it. Well, I'm here to tell you that there is something that can be done about it, and let's start, and let's do the best we can to put a corporation that is vulnerable, that where the details have not been attended to, let's start today to get some of those details attended to.
Mm-hmm. Right. And again, this is something a lot of people may think, because they live in an online world, they can do everything online, but they don't get that kind of attention.
Well, Ben, you don't. And, of course, everyone who's listening says, well, of course, Mr. Cecil is going to say that.
Yeah.
But truly, I mean, that's just the way it is. You need to have the advantage of having an independent talk with a lawyer who knows this area of the law and who can really guide you through
mm-hmm.
getting your corporate entity on solid ground. And that's just – there's so much – some of the issues – with the internet now, which we all are so, you know, it's attached to
yeah.
and very positive in an enormous amount of ways. I'm actually, as a lawyer, pleased that the internet exists, but there's so much information, you see. I get that with other areas of the law, such as last wills and testament, Medicaid planning.
Well, you gave the example, really, of the person who had already filed for a federal ID and probably did it all online.
They did.
And did not have
and yet
a consistent name.
The name was ever so different.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So there you go. We'll come back in a moment talking a little bit more about piercing the corporate veil. Some things you should watch out for, including follow the money. That's coming up next. Hey, welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak, and let's talk legal with Harvell and Collins talking about piercing the corporate veil. And I know one of the things, Cecil, that you guys have talked about before in past shows about commingling of funds, how that can trip you up.
Well, it can. You are going to have to keep your records, your financial house in order when you walk and talk like a corporation. You're going to have your some guidance either from your lawyer or your accountant as to how you pay business expenses, how you take salary and or draws from the corporation. All of that is something that has also got to be aligned. I want to go back a moment to our listeners in terms of, you know, the internet. There is so much information on the internet about all the areas of the law, and I personally am glad that that information is there because it makes your client, our clients, a bit more informed when they come to the appointments, and it's good that they are informed. They've read things. What then we as a lawyer do in the internet age is I compare it to just an adjustment.
Right.
We make the slightest, they've read it, but now we're adjusting the information so that it fits.
Mm-hmm.
And then there, you can almost see it with the client when the light comes on. Oh, okay. That's what they were saying. That's what I was reading. I understand it now. So, we like being able to help people, Ben.
Mm-hmm. And I know that that means a lot, but to demystify the law during this program.
Correct. It does. Absolutely.
There's a couple of things I think that people need to keep in mind is that we talk about the devil is in the details, and it's probably not more true than it is in the corporate world.
Well, that's absolutely accurate. The devil is in the details, and in corporations, you've got to have these details. So many folks just simply cannot find their membership certificates for an LLC, have no stock certificates for a corporation, as certainly have no minute book, have no minutes from past years. They might have their tax return. They might have their information from a bank, but you've got to have more than that. The Secretary of State information needs to be kept up to date. I cannot tell you how many corporate entities, and we check that each and every year when we're doing these updates this time of the year, but how many corporate entities have the wrong address on file in Raleigh.
All right.
And so that's a problem.
Give the folks at Harvell and Collins a call if you want to get this straightened out, and you can give them a call, 726-9050, again, on Bridges Street in Moorhead City.